Welcome to WGXC. To WGXC. You're listening to Music of Recent Centuries, and this is 90.7 Acra, Catskill, Hudson. ninety point seven FM. Okay, so welcome to Music of Recent Centuries. I am Miles, the host of the show, and here with me in the studio I have Rafi, who is a frequent guest, and
Now I can. Hello, okay. Miles. Thank you for having me again. I'm excited.
Yeah. So we are focusing the show primarily on Beethoven's late quartets.
Right.
We'll go a little more into detail about that. And what we just heard there was the first of his late quartets,
right,
in E-flat major.
Right.
And it kind of sets like a precedent sort of for,
right,
his other quartets.
Yeah. So that's not his first quartet, but his first late quartet, as Miles said. So this is later on. I think maybe his 13th or 14th even, but string quartet. And so this one was the first of the late quartets, and this was the first movement of which we played. And this movement
we're
is
gonna
play
written, the next one also as well.
Yeah, we are, and I'll talk a little bit about that and its importance. And so this first movement is written with a more conventional sonata form. But this piece is certainly not conventional. These late quartets were among some of the most kind of experimental things that Beethoven did. And so Beethoven opens this quartet with a series of loud attacking chords, and then he transitions into a more lyrical melody, as you could hear. However, this melody is not quite as distinct as many of Beethoven's other pieces, and is covered by a dense pattern of harmonies played under the melody. And so throughout this movement, the bold opening chords recur in a way which almost interrupts the melody. So they enter suddenly almost. But it does finish by completing the melodic theme and giving a satisfying ending. So that was the first movement of his E-flat major. Right. And so when this quartet was premiered, this E-flat, Opus 127, a reviewer had this to say. This is a quote. It was, quote, incomprehensible, incoherent, vague, overextended series of fantasies, fantasias, chaos, from which flashes of genius emerged from time to time like lightning bolts from a black thundercloud. So obviously this person was very confused and didn't quite understand what Beethoven was trying to get at here. This reviewer did not enjoy this premiere of Beethoven's late quartets, and people didn't really like them when they first were written, because they were just so different from anything that he'd done before. But now they are hailed as kind of classics and the greatest pieces that Beethoven wrote. And so this first movement doesn't quite capture
the whole kind of
what this quote really is talking about.
It's
so
the second movement. Then.
Yeah, definitely. So the second movement is much better, kind of, so you can see how that quote really relates, because, I mean, this second movement is certainly not conventional. And so here is
the
second movement.
Second movement.
Right. Of string quartet in E-flat.
Thank you. So that was some of the second movement of Beethoven's a quartet by Beethoven in E flat major. Yep. And so it kind of relates back to that quote that Rafi read. It sort of was like a haze, kind of like a calm, quiet haze, and then every now and then, as it said in the quote, there'd be kind of point of genius, a little variation would come out of the kind of quiet, calm, quiet, like steady haze. So, do you have anything specific you want to say about that? Or
yeah, well, this is this was the slow movement, one of the of Beethoven's quartet in E flat major, just four movements. So conventional in that sense, but again, like we talked about, this is one of his first kind of revolutionary quartets, and this is that one. the real movement where that kind of starts. And so this is a theme and variation on a quite beautiful and simple theme, which Beethoven is able to transform dramatically and geniusly with each variation. So each time he kind of improves upon it, it takes on almost a new different character. And that's kind of what Beethoven's able to do with this piece. And it is, I think it's primarily this movement which caused such confusion, like Miles talked about from the review and the quote that we've discussed at the premiere of the of this late quartet.
Do you want to read the quote one more time, just kind of?
Sure. So after you've heard that this movement, this wasn't all of it, because this is, as I said, one of the longest slow movements, but you've heard enough to get kind of a sense. And so here is the quote one more time. A reviewer at the premiere said, it was, quote, incomprehensible, incoherent, vague, overextended series of fantasias, chaos, from which flashes of genius emerged from time to time, like lightning bolts from a black thundercloud.
Yeah.
So that was the quote.
Definitely applies to this movement.
Right.
Not the first movement, so much, a little bit.
Right, that one was more kind of traditional, but still, not so. But, you know, in a sonata form, happier, with those interspersed kind of with chords, brash chords, that came in the beginning of the first movement. So in a sense, that speaks to the lightning bolts that he's talking about. But those were, I think, moments in which Beethoven was, in which he feels that Beethoven was able to kind of capture more traditional elements and make them beautiful in almost a Mozart-like style, which this reviewer seemed to identify with and like much better than Beethoven's kind of knew what he was taking on and what he was experimenting with. And so this piece is, it's kind of, this is the second movement, this is really what fueled this quote. And so now we are going to play another late quartet, this one, another beautiful one. I mean, all of them are great. And this one is his quartet in A minor.
Yep.
It was his 15th string quartet. Mm. And
wait, is this his, what number of his late, like, is this,
this
what, in relation to the E flat?
This is
major?
Opus 132. So the E flat was 127, Opus 127. And that was the first late quartet. This one, I think, is maybe the third or the fourth. I'm not quite sure. It could be the third late quartet. And so this is a little more, he's trying out new things even more, and we'll talk a little bit about this when we return. So here is Beethoven late quartet, quartet number 15 in A minor. This is the first movement, Si sostenuto.
So that was the first movement of Beethoven's string quartet in A minor. Mm-hmm. And so that piece, at least from my observation, it starts off kind of calm and quiet, and it really has a huge build up to the end. I mean, the pressure is really building throughout the whole piece. To finally come to the end, to the big ending, I feel. But Rafi has some technical diagnosis.
Well, this piece, this was the first movement of the A minor string quartet, number 15. And so this piece, Beethoven actually said about it to a small group of friends. Well, he said to someone, he said, "This quartet is written for a small circle of connoisseurs and is never to be performed in public." So, I mean, you can tell what we would have lost if this had actually happened. I mean, Beethoven was...
That would have been horrible.
Right, he was a bit self-conscious.
Well, eventually it would have come out.
He thought it wasn't perfect, and he always wanted to be perfect. But really, he was the one with these pieces, these late quartets, to set a precedent for those who came after him. So that he pushed them to a higher standard, almost, to really work, because he was the shadow looming over
everyone else, practically.
Who came after him. And so I just wanted to say, before I forgot, just as something that's important, is that these pieces, these late quartets, were composed around the same time, later in life of Beethoven, and about the same time as his Ninth Symphony, which definitely had much more influence over Romantic composers coming directly after him, such as
definitely.
Brahms or Mahler. Right. But these late quartets, we chose to focus on these because, personally, I find them more beautiful and...
Better.
Right, in general. And also, they have had kind of a lasting influence throughout the musical arena for several centuries.
On many people, not
for
just...
For several centuries, through recent centuries. And this piece, as you heard, begins with a poignant four note motif, which almost kind of evokes a fugue like feeling similar to Bach. And historians and musicians think that Beethoven was actually trying to look back and kind of reference Bach in some of his works, I think. And it's interesting how we...
This would definitely be one of them, if that
right. Was. Yeah, and so this is kind of like almost a fugal piece, in a sense.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, like, we talked about how with Mozart and in the E-flat major, he kind of looked back to one of the people he looked up to coming just a couple years before him, a couple decades, that Mozart...
He looked back to Mozart.
Right. Early Beethoven sounds very similar to Mozart, and I mean these late quartets are very uniquely Beethoven's. But he does reference Mozart, and here he's referencing Bach, and so he's looking back to the classics who he has learned from, and looked up to, and creating something completely new and unique of his own, which is interesting. That I mean, he's able to do that, and that I think is a mark of a truly great composer. And so that was the A minor quartet. And so now we are going to play one of his, one that came directly before it, but we thought that we should save this one for later.
Last.
Not
last, but
how
last of the Beethoven quartets.
Right, I think so. And
so we're going to hear some Schubert.
Right, I think so. And so... I think this we're going to do, I think actually a couple movements of this C sharp minor, which is a lot of people think that this could be one of his best string quartets. And I'll talk about this a little later. But so this is his string quartet in C sharp minor, number 14. So it comes directly before the A minor. But this is a beauty.
Thank you. Okay, so that was the Beethoven quartet in C-sharp minor. And so just to talk about the first movement a little bit, according to the Milton Cross Encyclopedia, New Encyclopedia of the Great Composers and Their Music by Milton Cross and David Ewan, it creates an atmosphere of awe and majesty.
Right, and yeah,
that's for the first movement of the piece. We heard three movements, one of which was only 40 seconds long.
Yeah, that was the first three movements of the C-sharp minor, which this piece consists of seven movements. This is the longest of any of his quartets. Hope you could hear me there. And this opening movement, as summed up there, is filled with dark contemplation and almost kind of like a mystical feeling that he gives to kind of introduce this piece. And this quartet, as I've said before, is widely considered to have probably been Beethoven's greatest experimentation out of his string quartets, and possibly out of all his pieces. And so this theme that's introduced in the first movement comes back throughout the piece, throughout the other movements, especially in the third movement, which we listen to, which is a theme and variation. And so now to transition to someone who's not Beethoven, we've talked about other composers, we talked about Bach, we've talked about Mozart, and so
we're
now
someone... we're going to hear a different composer.
Right.
To close out the show, unfortunately,
we should probably... We don't have that much time.
So quickly, and before we go to our last piece,
I
just want to say thank you for listening to Music of Recent Centuries. Make sure to tune in on the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. And now we can go back to... we're going to hear some Schubert next.
Yes. So, as he said, Schubert. So this is someone who came after Beethoven. So I want to be quick so that we can get at least some of this piece played. So Schubert said, after hearing this piece for the first time, this C-sharp minor, he said, after this, what is left for us to write? Because, as we said, Beethoven was such a looming shadow over everyone who came after him, because his pieces were so great, and that composers just didn't know what to do after him, and so that was what Schubert was trying to express. And this was one of Schubert's favorite pieces. In fact, on his deathbed, he wanted to listen to Beethoven's string quartet, this one in C sharp minor number 14, and so now we are going to play a string quartet of Schubert himself, so to give you a kind of sense of how music developed, and from someone who really looked up to Beethoven, especially to this quartet that you just heard. So we are going to play a Schubert quartet in D minor, and this piece is widely considered, and has been quoted to be called, one of the pillars of the chamber music repertoire. So, and another interesting thing about this, he was composing it while he was suffering from... serious illnesses, and he realized that he was dying. And this is similar to Beethoven, who also, as these quartets were going, suffered from illnesses himself. And so it's a connection there. And so this is Schubert's quartet in D minor. And this piece, like Beethoven's quartets, is one of the staples of chamber music. Sorry about that. We just got a little confusion. What we were playing was actually one of the movements of another Beethoven quartet, but here is your Schubert, D minor.